from KQED.
Was it all just a dream? Back in the day, Bay Curious listener Lisa Schwartz remembers seeing something odd in Emeryville. Nestled in the armpit of the maze, sort of across the interstate from where IKEA is today, was a stretch of muddy tidal flat, full of creatures. There was a ramshackle warrior riding a horse into battle. 50 feet away, a wooden dog playing an electric guitar. And when the sun was setting just right, the silhouette of a toothy sea monster emerged from the muck. If you were a kid in the backseat of the car in the 70s, driving by the Emeryville mudflats was magical. I'm Olivia Allen Price. This is the Bay Curious podcast. Our listener, Lisa Schwartz, she wants to know what happened to those sculptures. Or was it all just a dream? Lucky for us, reporters Jessica Placek and Maddie Gobo made an episode about the mudflats for the art podcast, Raw Material.
It was not a dream.
It was a very real sculpture park that flourished through the 60s, 70s, and 80s.
The road to San Francisco had become a drive-through art gallery. There were giraffes, wooden ships, and kangaroos along the freeway each morning. People came from all over to build Chinese dragons, elephants, fish, and totem poles. Each figure was an echo of a youthful memory. Fantasy. The sculptures were actors frozen in time, and this was a stage where people could play out their dreams.
These forms were built with driftwood, foam, hubcaps, brooms, plastic jugs, and buckets. Basically, a lot of junk nailed together to create something beautiful.
At the time, my dad, he was on the Chamber of Commerce, and so they told him that you should go check out the mudflats. Look what your wife did.
This is Joey Enos. Enos's mom built a baby buggy out of scraps, accompanied with a sign to tell his dad she was pregnant.
And so that's why I found out that I was going to be born.
Ever since, Enos has been obsessed with the mudflats. He's a sculpture artist himself, and he's one of the foremost historians on the sculpture garden.
According to Enos, it all started at Oakland's California College of Arts and Crafts, or CCAC, where a professor wanted to teach his students about assemblage art. That's a kind of sculpture created from found materials.
In 1960, Everett Turner had a sculpture class. And so on the weekend, they decided to explore this idea of making junk art.
The teacher, his students, and their partners ventured out near Oakland's waterfront with nothing but some hammers and 10 pounds of nails. Over the course of a single day, they work together to build a structure from debris.
They're calling it a ship, but it doesn't quite look like a ship. No, it's not seaworthy. Slightly resembles an upside-down pyramid. There's a flagpole. There is a rudder. I believe there's a doll head at the mast.
And it's made out of plywood and scrap wood, mostly.
Yeah.
That's just been nailed together haphazardly.
Right.
Enos says photos of this class project inspired another CCAC student. His name was John McCracken, and in 1962, he went out to make his own junk art at the Emeryville Crescent.
The Emeryville Crescent was in probably the loudest, most busiest spot in the whole Bay Area. You know, with the building of the Bay Bridge, you know, you have like 3-4 major freeways meeting right there.
This is where McCracken began to quietly build his sculptures.
And then people started to see them. And very quickly, there was a copycat artist.
McCracken's abstract sculptures were soon joined by more figurative works. A local high schooler snuck out onto the mudflats and built giant hands and dragons just for the heck of it. And those sculptures inspired others. Soon the mudflats became a lively place. Workers from surrounding factories would walk over on their lunch breaks. Students would skip class to hang out there. And artists would round up their friends for excursions on the weekends.
All the local newspapers picked up like what was happening along the freeway. Looked great. The pictures looked great.
Local news became national news. Time magazine wrote up a multi-page spread calling the Emeryville Crescent a mudflat museum.
And this museum, the exhibits were always changing.
These sculptures were malleable, partly because, you know, when you build things in mud, they just don't last. So you can't really take possession of it.
Knowing nothing would last, it was acceptable for people to borrow pieces of one sculpture to make a new one. And let's not forget, this is the 60s. When activists heard about the space, they began to create artworks that would transmit political messages to passing cars.
If you made anything political, it was asking for people to mess with it, to either add to it or to, you know, flatten it because they disagreed.
For example, someone built giant driftwood letters that spelled "fuck war." People loved to knock it down or spell something different. Ina says it was a fluid space. Sculptures were built, edited, knocked down, and built up again.
But eventually, most of the mudflat sculptures vanished for good.
Well, we made it. We are at the mudflats.
It's like this brown, scrubby, I don't know, pondweed kind of stretching out in front of us. Yeah, there's no beach. The waves just like disappear into this marsh or bog or whatever it is.
And there's still debris.
This is not a beautiful place.
On our visit, we only spotted two sculptures, simple horses made of buckets. That's a far cry from the dozens and dozens of sculptures you used to see. So what happened?
The sculpture garden's decline was gradual. As the Bay Area grew more prosperous, Emeryville started to overhaul its industrial waterfront. Developers built new Miami Beach-style condos with floor-to-ceiling windows overlooking the bay. For the condo's new residents, all that junk art spoiled the epic views they'd been promised.
There's a lot of conspiracy theories of what happened and why. For 15, 20 years, there's a sweet balance of building and construction and deconstruction. By the 1980s, its sculptures are quickly flattened out, especially political ones.
Some people suspect the developers themselves were dismantling the sculptures, smashing them to bits, or even setting some on fire.
There was just much more destruction.
Environmentalists also disapproved of the mudflats. The junk, the artists, and their art making was disruptive to the bay's delicate ecosystem.
Then, in 1989, came the Loma Prieta earthquake.
The latest word on the magnitude of this quake is 6.9.
Sections of Emeryville were damaged. The highways that once ran alongside the waterfront were rerouted so that motorists no longer had a clear view to the mudflats.
Then came the cleanup. In 1998, Caltrans sent in helicopters to cart away tons of garbage and driftwood. Without access to free materials, the sculpture garden was finished.
These pictures look great, and they are great, but it's chaos. You know, it's beautiful chaos. But I think by the 1980s, people were exhausted. So whether it was the development companies or the city or the railroads or, you know, even Caltrans, who are, you know, trying to maintain these freeways, they were just ready to be done with it.
The culture was changing. The mindset that made the sculpture garden possible, collaboration, anonymity, and access to free materials, began to seem suspicious, radical, and even un-American.
Today, you can find descendants of these artworks at festivals like Burning Man or on the Albany Bulb. But these sculptures are tucked away, no longer the accessible drive-by gallery of the mudflats.
That was reporters Jessica Placek and Maddie Gobo. You can find more of their reporting on Land Art in the West on the Raw Material podcast. Big thanks goes out to this week's question asker, Lisa Schwartz. That's it for Bay Curious this week. I'm Olivia Allen Price. Bay Curious is made in San Francisco at KQED. Take it easy, friends.